Testament lesson.
The gospel reading today is a selection from Mark 6. We're missing an important piece in the middle, and the reason the lections are set out that way is to make a point. So as you hear the reading, be aware that what we're missing is the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the lake toward his disciples. So here's the gospel reading for today, Mark 6, verses 30 through 34 and 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Then we have the teaching and the following passage. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was, and wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside. They placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Let's talk about sheep. If the Lord is our shepherd, if Jesus is the good shepherd, then guess what? We, you and I, are sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not very flattered to be compared to a sheep. In fact, when I was in seminary, I took a class on ministerial vocation, and we were asked to write a paper selecting the image of a minister which best described us. And about two-thirds of the class selected shepherd. They saw themselves as pastor shepherd, but not me. I wasn't going to compare my congregation to sheep. But the fact is that this shepherd-sheep image is very prevalent in the Bible and in early Christian times. 67 times in the Old and New Testaments, there are references, and some are very extensive, to God as a shepherd and to God's people as sheep. So I took a step back and asked myself, what is it about sheep that makes me so averse to being likened to one? Well, everybody knows that sheep are dumb. I mean, I remember the news story about 1,500 sheep who jumped off a cliff in Turkey. This happened in 2005. About 450 of the sheep died. The rest were survivors because they were cushioned by the sheep that were underneath them. That's pretty dumb, right? And that's why I don't like people being called sheep, and I resist pastors being called shepherds. But the truth about that Turkish sheep story is that the shepherds had abandoned their flocks while they gathered for breakfast. One sheep was somehow startled and ran, and the rest followed. But it turns out that it's not because sheep are dumb. Animal psychologists have actually determined that sheep have a pretty high level of intelligence. But sheep are communal. They're not happy when they're away from their flock. And sheep are prey. They're unable to defend themselves from predators except by running. So if a sheep is spooked, it runs. And because sheep band together for protection, if they see another sheep running, they follow. It isn't that they're dumb. They're doing what their natural instincts dictate. today's gospel reading. The disciples have come back to Jesus after he had sent them out two by two to the surrounding towns and villages. They had some successes there and some failures. And like anybody who's just completed a big project, they were tired. There was that letdown. And they were tired. Jesus, too, was in a low time. He's just heard of the death of his cousin John at the hands of Herod the Great. That had to grieve him deeply. So he and his circle needed to be together to comfort each other and to celebrate with each other's successes. Jesus told them, "Come away with me to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." But the people of the countryside, sheep if you will, wanted miracles and healings, signs and wonders. They really didn't know or understand who Jesus was, but they'd heard the talk about him, and they gathered together and ran after him. Most of us in that situation, I think, would turn around and leave, searching for another place, saying, "I need my space," as my generation used to say. But Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Like sheep without a shepherd. Like the Turkish sheep who ran off the edge of a cliff while their shepherds had breakfast. These poor, bewildered Hebrew sheep, part of the chosen people of God, had no shepherd. The law was there to guide them, but they couldn't live up to its rules. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, indeed the whole priestly order, which should have been their shepherd, they spent their time niggling over obscure doctrines and arguing about who was right and neglecting the people they were charged to protect and guide, like the Turkish shepherds taking their morning breakfast while their sheep stampeded in terror. Jesus himself was tired and grieving, but he had compassion on them and he taught them many things. Okay. So maybe the people of Jesus' time were a bit like sheep in need of a shepherd. But what about us? We're not sheep. We know our leader. We know our Lord and Savior, Jesus, our Christ. We're not running blindly towards someone or something that we really don't understand or recognize. Or are we? How many of us submit to the clarion call of consumption, buying stuff in an effort to fit with the culture and possibly to fill up our empty spaces? How many of us dress inappropriately in order to feel sexually attractive? How many of us cry, "Mine," when our less advantaged brothers and sisters call out for help? How many of us worship the Packers on a Sunday morning in fall instead of God? How many of us look at online pornography instead of seeking personal relationships? Do we really chart our own courses? Or have we all, like sheep, gone astray, seduced by our culture's me attitude and its "if it feels good, do it" motto? I could go on. There is much in our society that is wrong, which we, like sheep, have followed because someone told us it was good or that it was good for us. So maybe I need to reconsider my aversion to the shepherd-sheep language. Perhaps we are sheep. Perhaps we do need a shepherd, even we Christians. So I think back to the 23rd Psalm. That wonderful poem of David in praise of God for God's rescue and provision for him in the midst of terrible times. I'd like to take you into a guided meditation, which is a form of prayer if you direct it to God. So I'd like to ask you to relax, uncross your legs and arms, sit back, and if you're willing, close your eyes to sort of close out the distraction. Breathe in and out deeply and just relax. In and out. In and out. The Lord is my shepherd. Holy God, I confess that I've been behaving like a sheep. I've been gathering with others who do not know or love you, and I've been following them down dangerous paths. But I know that you are the good shepherd, the one who will seek me out no matter how many times I stray, the one who will care for me with tender love. I shall not be in want. You, Lord, provide all that I need. Maybe not all that I desire or all that society considers needful, but all that I truly need. Help me to see the goodness in what you provide and to turn to it and not to the overwhelming cultural influences that bring me down. Help me to want what you want for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I get so busy, Lord, with work and family and church activities, all good things I know, and things that I need to pay attention to. But I forget to pay attention to you, Lord. I forget to rest and pray and read your word. Thank you for taking me to a place where I can rest and be refreshed and be fed. Sometimes I'm too willful or deluded to know that place, and I try to walk away from it, following others instead of you. Thank you that you make me stop, make me rest. Injury, illness, job problems, family issues, troubles at school, these are all ways that you can actually work in me, ways that can make me stop and lie down and rest. I promise to examine my busyness and to decide that my real business begins with you, my God. He leads me beside quiet waters. I've been drinking from filthy streams, streams of fast-moving advertising, streams that pollute my mind with wanting stuff instead of you, streams that focus my thoughts on sexuality without love or commitment. Lead me, Lord, to the stream that you have dammed up so that I can drink from the still, cool, clean waters. Those other waters do not refresh or renew. Only the living water of your Son, Jesus, provides hydration for my spirit and soul. Lead me there, Holy Spirit. He restores my soul. This world feels dark and full of influences that I've adjusted to and allowed to permeate my being. Restore my soul, Lord, to the way it was when you created man and woman and called it very good. Restore your image in me. Wash me in the waters of baptism and in the blood of Christ. Make me clean and whole so that I can further your kingdom. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I've been wandering, Holy God, going down many a wrong path, moving farther and farther away from you. Lead me back, gracious one, back to you. Not because I deserve it, but because you promise not to abandon us. Do it for your name's sake, for the sake of Jesus and his sacrifice. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Lord, I've been through a lot of dark valleys, valleys where I saw the shadows of death nearby, waiting to claim me or someone I love. Shadows called cancer, or cocaine, or pornography, or promiscuity, or selfish desire for stuff. You've walked through those valleys with me. When I didn't know you were there, I was afraid. But when I believed in you, I knew that nothing on this earth could harm me, for my shepherd was there to guide me to the sweet green pasture. I'm not even afraid to die when I know that you're waiting to take my hand on the other side. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I get into trouble, Lord, like a sheep who falls into a crevasse or starts to wander away, you use your rod to push me back into the sheepfold, to keep me safe and well. You use your staff to hook me and lift me out of the dangerous place where I might fall. Your word and your church, they are your rod and your staff today, Lord. Help me to hold on to them and to know the comfort they bring, even in the midst of turmoil and distress. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The world thinks that I'm a little crazy, Lord, to believe in a God who died 2,000 years ago in Israel. When I try to follow your teachings, they scorn and mock me, even as they scorn and mock Jesus. But you are faithful, and you feed me, not with goods that the world can recognize, but with the life-sustaining food of your word and your church. Help me to be strong enough to come to your table, the table of the Lord's Supper, and not to partake at the world's table of gluttony and greed. You anoint my head with oil. The ancient ones used oil for healing and to treat dryness of scalp. Thank you, Lord, for your healing touch in my life. My physical body may deteriorate, but I am a new creature because you have anointed me and treated the dryness of my soul. As I turn to you every day in prayer and scripture, you pour out your goodness, your oil for my soul, and heal me. My cup overflows. I am so blessed. Even if I have little in the material way, I have life everlasting in Christ and a community of love and faith in the church. I praise you for your loving care of me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, you promised that you would not let one lamb of your flock be lost. Your love and goodness pursue me, seek me, follow me. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast, unshakable, unremitting love for me. Because of your life, death, and resurrection, in which I share by your grace, I do not fear life or death. I look forward to the time when I will dwell in your house, in the room you went to prepare, just for me. Whenever you are ready, you may open your eyes. Those are beautiful promises, aren't they? Promises we can depend upon because God spoke them through David, and Jesus affirmed them in his wonderful I am statement. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So maybe I've changed my mind a little bit about that distaste I had for the sheep metaphor. I have to admit that I can be a sheep at times. I like to be with others in community, in a sort of flock. So Sometimes I follow the crowd too easily and am influenced by cultural norms that conflict with Christian values and teachings. So I have to put myself firmly in the hands of the one who is my shepherd, my leader, my guardian, my healer, my savior, my Christ. That's not so hard to do when I'm faithful about attending church, about being active in a small group, about prayer and reading the Bible. We sheep who are part of Jesus' sheep pen have those powerful ways to sustain us. But what about those other sheep he mentioned? He said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. How does Jesus bring the other sheep that are not part of his pen? The ones who do not know him or believe in him. I wonder if you remember the scene on the beach after Jesus' death that John describes in chapter 21. Jesus has died and been resurrected. He has appeared to the disciples in the locked room. And then he appeared to them on the beach as they fished at the Sea of Tiberias. The catch was awful that morning. They caught nothing. But they saw this man on the beach, a stranger, who called out to them to throw out their nets once more. And the nets overflowed with fish. And that's when they recognized the man as Jesus. He had prepared a meal for them, grilled fish over a fire and bread. Come and have breakfast, he said. And after they all enjoyed the meal together, as they sat on the beach around the fire, Jesus asked Peter, the one who had betrayed him three times, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Those words were not just intended for Peter. Jesus commissioned him and through him, the church. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. In a sense, we are both sheep and shepherd in the priesthood, the ministry of all believers. There shall be one flock and one shepherd, Jesus prophesied. We are called as the church, the body of Christ, the hands and feet and mouth and ears and heart and mind and all the other parts of Jesus himself, to seek out the lost sheep and recover them. The metaphor of shepherd and sheep does not end with our earthly lives. In Revelation, we are told, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Meanwhile, we wait in hope.